He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. You're sounding good tonight. Let's continue singing two verses of this great song. Let's join our voices together on that first verse. Ready?
Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness, this very hour. My redemption full and free, he is all I need. Glory, glory to the Lamb, all I need, all I need. By his Spirit sealed I am, he is all I need.
Sing it out.
Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness, this very hour. My redemption full and free, he is all I need.
That's beautiful singing. You may be seated.
Well, good evening. Welcome back to church tonight. I hope you've had a good week, and the Lord gave us some sunshine today, and it seems to be staying for a little bit and a little bit warmer temperatures, and so we're looking forward to that, and had just a great day in school today. I enjoyed preaching chapel for the teenagers and the children, and that was a joy, and of course, all the other things we got to do this week. I know the ladies had a great time at the ladies' service ministry. And we appreciate all the hard work they do to love on our missionaries. I was told today that every missionary and their family gets a birthday card and an anniversary card. And what a blessing that is. I know that's an encouragement. And then also shut-ins have been, most of them have been visited, followed up on, and just so many good things happen. And so I'm so thankful for that. Ladies, if you didn't know about it, or maybe you're interested in that, please see Miss Summer Malucci. She'd be happy. I should say Mrs. Summer Malucci. She would be happy to meet with you. And Brother Jeremy said, yes, Mrs. Summer. But anyways, we are thankful you're here tonight. Just a few things to remind us of, and that is coming up. A few things. On Saturday, we'll be having the funeral service for Tyler Olson. And this is Kevin Suda's brother there. His family will be here. Pray for that. You're welcome to come and support that and be a part of that. And pray that the gospel will be presented and people will respond, and that God will just bring comfort to this family, and just pray for that if you could. That's at 2 o'clock here at the church, And then also I wanted to mention Dominic and Amanda is with us back again tonight. And he's serving in the Marines, and they will be moving to North Carolina for 3 years. Are you going to pick up the Southern accent? Hopefully not. Okay. And so pray for them as they go. We're so thankful he's serving our country and they're serving the Lord. But pray for them as they travel and be safe there. And what a blessing they have been to our church. And we're thankful for them as well. Don't forget, of course, the missions trip coming up, Best Years Club events coming up, and then Level Up, I believe this coming the following Sunday night. Also, many of you have helped get out Easter flyers. Thank you for doing that. This year, we're just doing one hunt. It's here at the church. It'll be after the Sunday morning service, and we're excited about that. We have a lot of eggs already filled, and many of you have brought in candy, and I encourage you to bring in some more if you can, and help us get these flyers out. There's some on the table as you go out. I know it's hard sometimes maybe to get some out, but if you'll just put some time aside and get some out, I know my family's already almost got 1,000 of these out ourselves, and we're happy to get these out. I want to encourage you to help out as well, and we're looking forward to that. I did mention on Sunday, kind of off, by the way, it's good to have Brother TJ back, and he's feeling better. He's here, and so we're praising the Lord for that. And but anywho, we talked about the stove after youth explosion. Several of you have already responded. The ovens in our kitchen, and they're just ready to be. They just need to be upgraded. And someone called me today and said, "I will match every dollar for a dollar that comes in, and plus." So I want to encourage you to do that if you can. Every dollar you give to it, if it's a little bit or maybe a little more, will be matched. And I believe God's going to help us get this these ovens here soon. So if I want to encourage you in that area, we use those for so many different things. Almost every big event we do here, we're using those ovens. And so it's a very important part of our outreach. And then, of course, a blessing to so many different things we do during the week as well. I wanted to mention just a few prayer requests tonight. Let's be in prayer for Dave and Faerine Bilby. Dave, Faerine called me. Of course, me and Brother Pete were able to go visit with him on yesterday. And today, Faerine called me and said he's not doing well at all. And his time is drawing to a close. So let's pray for Brother Dave. I'm going to go out there in the morning again. All the family's coming over tonight. I will say, one of the greatest Christian men I've ever met. And his love for the Lord is contagious. And his faithfulness for the Lord. And so pray for Faerine and the family during this time. And of course, he's looking forward to seeing Jesus. But we're going to miss him. So let's pray for this dear family. Also, pray for Brianna. Calderon has a dental procedure coming up on Friday. Jim Promitis, continue to pray for him as he's been struggling. Valerie King is adjusting some medication but having some issues physically, so pray for her. Tim Holman, our site pastor there in Woodburn, has been having a tooth infection, and it's just been so painful. So pray for him. They'll be able to get that addressed. Phyllis Heimberger has prayer for upcoming cancer surgery. Ben and Emily Childers, a newer family to our church, just had a baby, and he's in the NICU, and they're trying to get him to breathe on his own, and he can't quite do it without the oxygen machine. So pray for them. I'm going to go try to visit them tomorrow. And then Aaron Burback has a very important doctor appointment coming up regarding the new insulin pump for him. Linda Flackis is recovering from kidney stone surgery. Barb Rimple, she continues to struggle with her COPD and the flu. And then Judy Duncan family, the funeral for Jeff, her husband, is Saturday, March 30th, and Scott Mills. So I want to encourage you to pray about that as well. Carrie Blasco's mom, Diana's cancer in her brain. She's struggling. Merle White is hoping to be back soon, and as he recovers from his recent health issue. And then Shirley Bowen as well, she recovers. Karen Durbin is now in rehab. And then Stan Radcliffe as well. Let's pray for the Radcliffes. And of course, Pastor Stuart Mason was supposed to be doing youth explosion for us, and of course called and said his health something was going on, and they found out he does have leukemia. And just a great pastor, a great church, and sure, what a great friend of mine, of our ministry. Many of our staff are very close to him. So let's pray for this dear family, this dear preacher, and that God will just heal and bring healing there. And he has been such a blessing, not just as a pastor, but his preaching through the years. Every time I've heard him, I've been challenged and helped, and he's a great friend. So let's pray for him as well. Well, I know there's a lot of needs tonight, but let's pray for these if we can. Let's pray for our missionaries. Let's pray for those in our church who are struggling and as well. If our men could come forward for the offering tonight, we'll get ready to give back to God as he's given to us. We read in Galatians 2, verse 10, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. And we continue to give and try to help people, not just poor physically, but poor spiritually as well, and give the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so at this time, Brother TJ is going to give us a quick update on the teens, and then he'll pray for the offering tonight.
Thank you, Pastor Justin. Just wanted to say, because I wasn't here Sunday, I didn't get to thank everyone. Thank you so much for all those that helped at Teen Youth Explosion. Raise your hand if you were helping somewhere on his property, and there was a lot of places to help with food, security, and just in here. And by the way, it's a lot calmer in here tonight than it was last Wednesday night. We had a wonderful time. I was able to preach, and I tried to give the teens each night a challenge, a spiritual challenge that is very applicable, really, if you wanted to say hot-button topics of right now with young people, and use that, so talk about that, and then tie that into the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I tried to challenge those young people, poured my heart out. They listened really well, and we had 20 different young people accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Also, on the last night, I challenged any teenager who'd like to know the Bible better and to go through a program that we have, a Bible study program, which is our discipleship program. And here at our church, we have an adult program, a 14-week program. Also, a few years ago, I wrote a 6-week teen-based discipleship program. And so we have used that and discipled many teenagers. We had 16 different teenagers raise their hands, stand at their feet, saying, I want to know more about the Bible. And of those 16, about a dozen of them, I had no idea who they were. Never been in our property. And so we are just grateful for that. We're working on contacting those young people, lining them up with different disciplers. And so be praying as we move forward to that. But I want to thank you for all those that gave and for all those that served, because we could not do it literally without you. Then I wanted to mention the teens went out today in our teen outreach. Isn't it nice to have the sun out? Amen. Amen. I felt myself just a couple times, feels good. And teens were able to go out. We had 36 teens go out. We were in Canby. We had those Easter flyers, those beautiful Easter flyers we were putting out. And while they were out, our teens were looking for anyone they could talk to, and we were able to see 4 people personally pray and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I want you to know there are people being saved all the time. We just mentioned Wednesday night teen outreach. There are people being saved all the time through the ministries of Grandview Baptist Church, and you never hear about it. 2 weeks ago, I had a couple teen boys on Saturday, and we went out soul winning for just a couple hours, and those teen boys were able to see 4 people pray and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. 2 of them, I was in the car, and I told the boys about how in inner city Chicago, where I used to work in ministry, a little strat I used to love with teenagers is you challenge them to basketball. You go to a park, you see a couple people playing basketball, you walk over to those teen guys, and you say, I bet I can beat you. And of course, every guy in here knows that's like, okay, we're playing now. Like, we have to. Like, we have to find this out. And, you know, and so when you ask them and you say, you know, I want to challenge you, you just say, if I beat you, you have to listen to me talk about Jesus for a couple minutes. And usually they think they can beat you. So it works great, you know, and especially if you're short like me, because I don't look like I'm good back in the day. So I was telling our teen boys that story, and sure enough, as we're driving around, there are 2 adult men on a basketball court playing at an elementary school shooting hoops. So I drop the boys off, I come back a couple minutes later, and they are playing a game of basketball. A junior high and high school boy versus 2 adult men, and they destroyed them, number one, is what I was told. And then afterwards, both of those adult men prayed and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so there are people being saved through the ministries of our church all the time. I want you to understand when the offering plates come, it's a chance for us to give to the Lord through a ministry whose focus is on sharing Jesus Christ with other people. And I don't know about you, but I can't think of a better ministry to give to than a ministry who's consumed and driven to share Jesus with its community and with its world. I love that. And so when you give, I hope that you'll give with an open heart to the ministries here at Grandview Baptist Church. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get to hear the young people. They've been standing for a while, by the way, okay? Nobody's passed out yet. Let's keep it that way. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll hear from them. Dear Lord, we love you. God, you are all we need, and the truth is, we all need you. We all need you. Lord, as Pastor Justin read those prayer requests, my heart just breaks. It just breaks, Lord, so many needs. And the truth is, if we could fix them, we would fix every one of them. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. But God, we don't have that power, but you do. You're the only one that does. And so, Lord, tonight we call on your name for these prayer requests, these prayer needs. Lord, some need comfort. God, they need comfort. God, others, they need physical help. And God, you're the only one that can provide it. Lord, we just pray for each and every need of our fellow church members here at our church. And Lord, we know these people. They love you. They love serving you. They wish they could be here tonight. Lord, we just ask that you would take care of them, that you would bring them back safely. Lord, tonight, as it's the time of our service where we give, Lord, help us to give with an open heart. Help us to give not just to our church, but through our church so that your work can be further increased in our community and in our world. Lord, we love you, and God, we are eternally grateful for all that you've done for us in our lives. Please be with us tonight. Encourage us, charge us, comfort us tonight. In your precious name, amen.
Alrighty, Ephesians chapter number 4 tonight, Ephesians chapter 4. Brother Mutzer is in Victorville, California tonight, and Miss Vicky's with them, and they are ministering to a church there all week, and so pray that God will use them, as I know he will. And God always seems to use them in a great way, about Ephesians and chapter number 4. Of course, typically I will have a parents class and different things that I do on a Wednesday night. So I'm going to kind of bring a message really with about fantastic families relate. Fantastic families relate. But really, I think this message goes for really anyone who's in any type of relationship, whether it's a work or whether it's a home relationship or whether it's a community relationship tonight. And really, I think it comes down to just what's the Christian thing to do. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17, you can just stay seated tonight. But the Bible says there, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness." And so really, if you look at Ephesians, just a quick backdrop, chapters 1 through 3 is talking about my life in Christ, your life in Christ. And then chapters 4 through 6 talk about how the gospel looks into our life, and really how the gospel should be coming out of our life. And when we get to chapter 4, verse 17 through 19, we really see the selfish home or the selfish person. It's all about themselves. And when we look at verses 20 and then 29 through 32, we see the happy home. So verse 20, it says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." So Paul says, hey, if you're going to live by yourself, for yourself and for the flesh, and this is how it's going to be, but if you know Christ, and if he's taught you, and if he lives in you, and if he's transformed you and changed you, there's going to be something different about your life, about your home. The Bible says in verse number 23, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Of course, we know the word edify means to build up, and that it may minister grace unto the hearers. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking." I will say those few things are very prevalent in the homes of our world today. Now, I'm not saying that it's the case in your home, if you're a Christian home, but I will say, I think we can say that a lot of times in homes that have nothing to do with Jesus Christ and all about self, you're going to see a lot of bitterness, a lot of wrath, a lot of anger, a lot of clamor, a lot of evil speaking. But you're supposed to put it away from you, the Bible says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And let's pray. Lord, we sure do love you. Thank you for loving us. You certainly are a good God. Thank you for these dear people who made it a point to come to church tonight. And of course, we have so many other groups meeting and so many other adults helping out with the Awanas and the nursery and the young adults and, of course, the teens and of course, all over the property of discipleship. And thank you for those who are here. And Lord, be with those who aren't and maybe should be. Lord, help them, Lord. And be with those who maybe are physically ill or those who are out of town or maybe work and tuning in right now or will tune in later. I pray that they'll know they're loved and appreciated. And I pray you'll just help this dear church and help these dear people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Several months ago, I was fixing a fence, a barbed wire fence, and trying to keep my calf from getting out of the fence. And, I was trying to fix that barbed wire, and while doing so, my hand also got caught up in a blackberry bush, and between the barbed wire and the blackberry bush, it was a perfect storm to get a cut. And of course, I didn't think it was that big a deal, and I kind of let it go, and of course, my dear sweet wife, I'm sure, said, you know, are you going to do something about that? And of course, as Alex would do, no, I'm good, right? And I'm tough, I got this. And of course, after a few days, it started puffing up a little bit. And that little scratch, which really didn't seem to hurt at the time, started really hurting. And every time I bumped into something or did anything, it started aggravating, and it started to just hurt a little bit. And so what did I do? Well, I got the Neosperm out and the Band-Aid like my wife told me to 3 days ago, you know, and put it on there. And after a few days, it was all healed, you know. What am I trying to say? I'm simply saying that ointment really can soothe and bring healing. But when we don't and we seem to hit it or jab at it, it can affect the relationship. And I think a lot of times in our life, we as Christians have the ability to bring ointment on things. But sometimes we can actually agitate more than help. As I look at families in the Bible, we've been going through families in the Bible in our class on Sunday. We've been going through different families. And I've been looking for that model family in the Bible. There's not really a lot of them. Why? Because they're sinners. And I think we have to learn, as I like to give the illustration of a triangle, if we're both going toward Christ, we're going to get closer to the Lord, you know. But we see today in our scripture the opportunity to be different than what the world would do, possibly, and how our ointment can help. I think of Proverbs 16, verse 24, pleasant words are as in honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Fantastic families enjoy being together and make quality and quantity time absolute priority. So let's look at just three things tonight that I feel like we can do to bring ointment, if you will, to the things of life and the things that maybe sin can bring in our life. And we see, first of all, if you're writing tonight, just 3 points. Fantastic families express affirmation. Fantastic families express affirmation. We've already read chapter 4, 29 through 32, but we see in those scriptures how we need to get rid of anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice, bitterness and wrath, and instead use edifying in verse 20 to 29, and use grace, and we need to use tenderhearted, we need to be forgiving. In fact, verse 29 says, let no corrupt. That word corrupt means destructive. Don't let that get into our vocabulary. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. I'm just going to give you a few scriptures here that kind of support this. The Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Now, I looked up this word seasoning, and I looked up the commentary for it, and it literally says to prepare with seasoning or to season food as with salt when you make it. Yesterday, I fired up the grill, and we put some chicken drumstick and some sausages on there. And before I put the chickens on, I got my little mix, you know. It's called, I think, Barnyard Dust. It's this grilling thing. I put some Lowry's seasoning salt, and, you know, I just, you know how, you, I don't know how you guys are, but it's like, let's try this, and let's try that, and the goal is to kind of marinate a little bit and season it a little bit, because you know if you put it on the grill and it does its thing, and after you get it off, it just tastes great. But if you don't season anything, it tastes rather bland. And really, the Bible here is telling us when we talk, it should be seasoned or prepared like you would a meal that you're getting ready to cook. It shouldn't just be flippant. It shouldn't just
be whatever your mind yells at you or whatever frustration you have. It should be seasoned. It should be coming out the right way. Paul uses the perfect tense for seasoned. And literally, he says, a continuing thing. We should be continuing to be careful and to guard and to season our words that we say. Salt repulses rotting, corrupt things. Which shows us, verse 29, the Bible says there of Ephesians chapter 4, let no corrupt communication. So the best way to let corrupt communication not out of you is what? To season it with salt and to prepare it and say, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to think that. Proverbs 10, verse 21. Here's another one. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Someone said, just as a server of a huge banquet feeds many people, so the righteous person can feed many by speaking good words. Wise advice can make others more stable and successful. We have the ability to tear down and we have the ability to build up. So the Proverbs here and is encouraging us to feed with our words and not starve with our words. And then Proverbs 15:4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Someone said, either you can heal and help with your words, or you can hurt or injure. You can either instruct and uplift, or you can corrupt and offend. Proverbs 25:11, here's another verse that shows us that we should give affirmation. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. I think that's a good enough commentary on itself. There's something great about the right kind of words. I think of Isaiah 50 verse 4. I really love this verse. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Now, one of the joys I've had is pastoring through the years and don't always know what to say sometimes. But I do love it when the Lord helps me when I'm seeking to deal with someone or pray with someone or help with someone. And you can just tell it's just what they needed to hear. By the way, I don't know how many times I've been on the receiving end of someone. Just at the right time, said the right thing. Maybe it's a teenager who's struggling and you say, hey, you know what? You're doing a good job. What? I am? Yeah, you're doing a great job. Okay. Maybe it's a child who is discouraged and you encourage them. Maybe it's your spouse. Being able to say the right thing at the right time. How to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And we pray that God gives us the words to say. We must learn to leverage the tool of our tongue for God's glory. There's a story about a little girl named Mary. She was born with a cleft in her palate, and she had to bear the jokes and stares of cruel children. This was in the 1950s. They teased her nonstop about her mist-shaped lip, of course, something she could never control, her crooked nose and garbled speech, and she just hated herself because of that, and what a sad thing that would be, of course. But Mary grew up hating the fact that she was different. She was convinced that no one outside her family could ever love her until she entered Miss Leonard's class. Miss Leonard was warm, smile, had a round face, and shiny brown hair. Everyone in her class liked her, and Mary came to love Miss Leonard. It was common for teachers to give children an annual hearing test, and it was the same as this day. But what was unfortunate with Mary, even though she had the cleft palate, and even though she had the garbled speech, and even though she had a misshaped nose, what was also interesting about her was one of her ears she couldn't hear very well. And so she would always make sure she went to the right side so that the kids wouldn't have something more to make fun of her. And one day as she went, she was expecting the teacher to say something like, the sky is blue, or what color are your shoes? And as she came close to Miss Leonard, and as she wanted to desperately make sure she caught what she said, she heard Mrs. Leonard say one phrase, "I wish you were my little girl. You are loved." And that day, that godly teacher melted that girl's heart. And she realized for the first time she really was accepted for who she was. May I encourage you today to be that person for somebody. Be willing to give affirmation. And maybe your parents had a hard time giving it to you. You're just not used to it, and so you struggle with it. I read these and I thought, well, these were a help to me, so I'm going to give you a few things. Maybe you can say something like, "I'm proud of you," or "Way to go, you did it. I knew you could do it. What a good helper. What a treasure. You're very special to me. You're a real trooper. That's creative. You made my day. You're a joy. You're a good listener. You figured it out. Good job. You're so responsible. You remembered. You're the best. You sure tried hard. I couldn't be prouder of you. You light my day. I'm praying for you. You're wonderful. You're God's special gift." All those are powerful things. We all love to hear them. But sometimes it's so easy to point the negative out that we forget to give the kindness we need. Now, I'm not here today to say as parents we should never correct or rebuke or nurture or admonish. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying we should be willing and able to give affirmation to people. So first of all, fantastic families show affirmation. But second of all, tonight, if you're writing, fantastic families show affection. Fantastic families show affection. In Mark chapter 1, verse 41, the Bible says, "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will be thou clean." In Psalms 91, verse 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers." I just can't help but think of a mother hen, or maybe an animal that kind of covers her babies, protects them. That's what God does for you and me. 1 John 3:1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Could you imagine? We don't only get the opportunity to worship God, we get to be called the sons of God. I think of 1 John 4:10, "Herein is love, that not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. James 5, verse 11, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender of mercy." I mean, all of these verses are showing how much God likes to give us affirmation. Matthew 23:37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens." And of course, Jesus is saying, how often did you stone and you beat and you push away my prophets I sent you? I was seeking to just love you and take care of you. If I just really wanted to be like a mother hen and I wanted to protect you, I wanted to take care of you, I wanted to love you, but you have done none of it. I'm thankful for a God who is big and powerful. He's all-knowing. He's sovereign. Man, he's holy. He's everything we ever could dream and want. But yet, that same God loves and cares about you and me. We see the affirmation he gives for us. I think of 1 Thessalonians 2:11. "As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children." Can you bring comfort to somebody? Can you bring care to someone? Or are you the one who points out the obvious sometimes? Are you the one who tries to help and minister to people? God puts priorities of expressing physical affection. obviously appropriate. We understand that. I know as a dad, of course, my kids are getting a little older now, but I love, tickling them until they tickled me back, I enjoyed playfully teasing them a little bit sometimes. I enjoy praying with them. I enjoy hugging them, I enjoy answering their questions. Not the perfect dad, a long way to go, but I do love my kids. I want to encourage you tonight to not just speak affirmation, express affirmation, but show affection. Show affection. Let your family, let your friends, let those around you that you minister to, that let them know that you love them, you appreciate them, you care for them. And then last of all, number three, fantastic families invest time and attention. Invest time and attention. And this has got to be one of the hardest ones I struggle with. And as a pastor of a large church and several other things I have going on, and it's a challenge sometimes. And I have to work at it. But I'm thankful for God who gives us His attention, His time. Genesis 2:24 says, "Therefore shall man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, it shows the time and attention a parent must give. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." It takes time, it takes effort, it takes connecting, but investing our time and attention. I'll never forget when we were a new church planner, we didn't have much funds, and we had gotten into disc golf. It's pretty popular up here, frisbee golf, and I'll never forget, we would take the kids and we'd go to these little parks and they'd throw them, and then we'd barbecue a little bit afterwards, and then, push them for the 1,000th time on the swing. Just one more push, and how much they loved that, and how inexpensive it was, but how big of a difference it made. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, "Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, and giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel." Husbands, we must take the time to get to know our spouse and vice versa. For your family health, our time together is imperative. Steve Covey said this, and this is a very convicting quote, "It is easy to say yes when there is a deeper reason inside." Here's another quote, "Quality of relationships always outweighs quality of life." And I know many people who have a great quality of life, but they have very little relationships. May we be a people that spend time to build relationships with people. Then number three, you have enough time to do what God has given for you to do. Ephesians 5:1, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So, what are we supposed to do? Fantastic families show affirmation, express affirmation. Fantastic families show affection, and fantastic families invest time and attention. I read this the other day, and it was helpful to me, so I'm going to give it to you. I want to give you 9 practical ways to make your home a great place, make your workplace a great place. You say, well, it's just me at the house. Well, maybe this can help your class or your ministry, whatever the case may be. But 9 practical ways. Number one, have fun together. Have fun together. And sometimes we'll do that. We'll be having dinner, and I'll try to get something stirred up and funny and tease them. And next thing I know, we're all laughing. And sometimes the kids will say the craziest things, and we'll all laugh. Have fun together. Number two, make mealtimes together enjoyable. Make mealtimes together enjoyable. I remember growing up as a kid, there were 7 of us kids. And so you wanted to be there on time. Because if you got there late, there may not be much food left. It was always great, and we all had our story to tell, you know, and you finally got that little bit of a time to tell yours, and they were already on to the next story. I had something great to say, you know, but make meal times enjoyable. Number three, make memories together. Make memories together. We enjoy sometimes just going through our phone, all the pictures from years ago, and just telling the kids, you know, hey, I remember that, and then laughing at them because they were doing a crazy face or something. But make memories together. Number four, planning exciting events as you are able. I always try to encourage families, you don't have to do everything that the world promotes, okay? You say, well, I feel like I need to do this and this for my kids, but I don't know how we can afford it. Well, kids just like to do things together. They're okay sometimes with just going to the park or going to the creek and throwing rocks in it. They're fine with that. Now, I know as they get older, it's a little more challenging. But plan exciting events as you're able. Number five, I said this already a little bit. I got ahead of myself. Learn to laugh together. Learn to laugh together. Number six, make family devotions fun. Make family devotions fun. Number seven, plan conversation starters for your drive together. I have to be careful with this because we live in the day and age where there's podcasts out there. There's everything in the world to listen to. We have 15 minutes about to our house after school or on the way in. And I have to be careful that I don't just sit there in silence or listen to something. I want to try to get things going. Try to talk with them. Try to build those relationship times. Have a conversation starter. We've done this for years in our class, our home builders class. But I remember the first couple weeks we had class, it was like you could hear a pin drop. It's like I wanted to get some energy. I wanted to get some stuff. So we started doing get to know you questions. We've done it for 3 years now. We've learned about everything you can about everyone. Okay. But there's just something about being prepared for your conversation. And you say, well, I struggle with it. It's like talking to a barn, or it's like pulling something out of a gold mine. Yeah? Well, have conversations going, and that will help. I believe it will. Number eight, celebrate their victories. Celebrate their victories. One of my children came up to me today and said, hey, Daddy! I said, what's that? My paper! Oh, yeah. Got it, you know, she had gotten a good grade, and she was so excited. And I was excited for her. But find those opportunities to celebrate victories. By the way, I can say this as a 37-year-old. I appreciate that my parents still celebrate my victories. It's really nice to have someone who cares about whatever I'm happy about, you know. And may I encourage you to celebrate your kids' victories. Number nine, by the way, kids, let's celebrate our parents' victories too. I'll never forget the day when it dawned on me that mom is just being gracious listening to me. She wants to tell me about her life too sometimes. I'll never forget the day I told her all my stories and I said, okay, mom, we'll let you go now. And I feel like the Holy Spirit says, you didn't ask her one question about her day. And I said, well, what's the matter? God says, well, you cared about what she said. Or no, you cared about what you had to tell her. And so I want to encourage us kids to take the time to celebrate your parents' victories too. And then last of all, number nine, encourage each other in their failures. Encourage each other in their failures. By the way, we live in a day and age where social media puts out, for the most part, some people put too much out there, but for the most part, it's all the victories. May I say, there's going to be days where you have a bad day or a failure. And may we encourage each other in our failures. Just some practical ways tonight. I know this isn't typically what the Wednesday night is, but I just want to encourage us and just some thoughts tonight from Ephesians. And fantastic families express affirmation. We really can, as human nature, it's easy to be the agitator, right? We don't mean to point out all the negative. We don't. But it's just human nature. But may we be the ointment in our homes, in our workplaces, in our church, and our communities, And we do it by expressing affirmation, we do it by showing affection, and we do it by investing time and attention. By the way, all of these things take work. They take effort. But the more you do it, the better you're going to be at it, and the more it's going to flow. And so I hope that was a help to you tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And I don't know maybe what God's done in your heart tonight. I imagine most of you try to take care of people and care for people. I imagine you try to be that ointment. Maybe this was just a reminder for you. Maybe you do struggle with corrupt communication. Maybe you do struggle with anger and clamor and evil speaking and bitterness and wrath, and you just maybe need the Lord to touch your heart. Maybe you struggle with seasoning your words. Maybe you struggle with that. Maybe you just say it. You don't think about it. And maybe that was something that God touched your heart tonight. Maybe you have a hard time showing affirmation. I know my dad has mentioned to me that his grandpa wasn't always was very kind, a great dad, but never really said a lot of affirmation. And maybe that's something you struggle with. Maybe that's something you can work on with those you're around. Maybe you can show affection more. And I'm not necessarily saying in a negative way. I'm talking about in a biblical perimeter, good way, but show affection and show people you love them. And may I encourage you to invest time and attention. And everything's usually a sacrifice, but taking the time to invest in people. Maybe your spouse more. Maybe you need to do more together. Maybe you need to do more with your children. Maybe you need to do more with those who you're around. I don't know really maybe how God would use this in your heart tonight, but may I encourage you to just spend a minute or two in prayer as I pray tonight, and then we'll have the invitation. Lord, we sure do love you. Thank you so much for loving us. Lord, you know my heart. My heart really is for the home to be a happy place. Lord, I know my failures. I know what I struggle with. And I know, Lord, if I do, perhaps others do. And maybe this is a good reminder to myself and, Lord, to others that we need to be the ointment in our home, in our lives, in our workplace, in our relationship. We don't need to be the agitators. We need to be helping heal. I'm not saying, Lord, there's not a time we need to discipline, a time we don't need to nurture and admonish. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, we need to be people who express affirmation, or people who are willing to give time and attention and to show affection and to care and to impact people and influence people for the cause of Christ. Lord, the world influences too much. We need to be able to influence and impact people for the cause of Christ. And I pray you help us to be better parents, or be better employees, or be better in our workplace, or be better in our neighborhood, Lord, and be the type of church members we need to be, Lord, tonight. And I pray you help us in these areas in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could stand to your feet, the piano is going to play for a minute or two. May I encourage you to respond as God would have you to tonight in the next few minutes we have left. Just spend some time with God. Maybe pray, or maybe pray for someone near you. Maybe a burden on your heart. I encourage you to do what God would have you do tonight. Thank you, Miss Sarah. You did a great job. Oh, were you in here for the preaching? Okay, all right. Anyways, you did a great job. You always do an awesome job. No, we talked about affirmation and being kind and saying nice things to people. So anyways, we're glad for you. Brother Colby did a great job with the slideshow tonight. And Brother John Hochul. And who else is up there? Noah. All right. And then everyone else. Thank you for listening. I don't think I saw anybody sleeping. So, Brother John, congratulations, and you did a great job. No, I'm teasing. And I sure do appreciate you. I hope you know that. Hope you have a great week. rest of your week. And I think it's supposed to be close to 70. My wife said, don't jinx it. So we'll see. And it's going to be a nice weekend. And I hope you enjoy it. Be in church on Sunday. We're going to have a great day. And God bless you all. And I'm going to get you out a minute or two early tonight. But you are dismissed.